Welcome to WP Coffee Talk. Thank you to our sponsor, Helix Managed WordPress Hosting, for both their sponsorship and hosting our site, WPCoffeeTalk.com. Now on to our episode. Welcome to the next edition, the next episode of WP Coffee Talk. I am here on a rainy afternoon. We're in the same time zone, which makes it a little bit easier. We're both here in the Eastern time zone, but in different countries, which is also a lot of fun. I'm here today with my friend Shanta Nathwani, and I love saying your first and last name because it just rolls. It's so beautiful. It's like a song every time I say your name. Shanta Nathwani. And I hope I say it right because it sounds pretty the way I say it. I like it that way anyway.
You're definitely saying it right. And yes. My parents actually planned it that way so that I'd have an Indian first name with the Indian last name. So it was planned.
I love it. And mine too. So my maiden name is Freshette, and I was given the name Michelle. So it's a French first name and last name as well. French Canadian. As you know,
right.
I am of Canadian descent. I'm both my grandparents' side on my dad's side. And it's probably not true that I'm the only American in the Canadian Slack channel anymore, but I know that I'm the token American in the Slack channel for Canadian Slack. And I
send an invite to another American today.
Record. Very good. Well, then I have company there. Well, that's a good thing. So anyway, I just want to thank you so much for being here today, Shanta. I think you and I was trying to remember exactly when we first did meet. I know it's a different date for me than it is for you, because you were on the organizing team for WordCamp Toronto.
And yes, 1 year.
The first year that I went, I want to say was 2014, because I had been to one camp before that. That was WordCamp Buffalo, my first WordCamp. And I love to joke about the fact that I got there, I was so excited, so overwhelmed. I know one person in the room, basically. And I went on Facebook, because I wasn't even tweeting much back then. I went on Facebook and I posted, I'm at my first WordPress camp. Like, I didn't even call it WordCamp yet, because I was just like, oh. And then I left that day so excited about everything that I could learn in like an 8-hour period that I was like, I just heard that WordCamp Toronto is coming up. I'm going to sign up for WordCamp Toronto. And I went to Toronto all by myself and I was very overwhelmed. And I met people that day and I met friends, and I didn't technically meet you that time. It was the next year that I went back. And I was like, oh, that's a familiar face. I sat in her class and I learned from you how to add the blog category to the menu. Like, I wasn't sure how to get blogs and menus. And so I learned that from you in 2014, I think. And in 2015, I saw you like kind of standing there and I walked up to you and I said, hello. And you turned to me, you said, hi. And then you turned and walked off to talk to somebody else. And I was like, oh, well, she's too big in the WordPress community to talk to little old me. And since then, and I know that you really were just busy, because I've been an organizer now several times over, and I completely understand how crazy that day is. But I still laugh with you about it, because now we're such close friends.
Yeah.
We share secrets. we share life events to each other, and we talk on the down low all the time. So it's just funny that you brushed me off so easily that first time. But
so you're pretty accurate on that. So it's funny. So my first WordCamp was Toronto in 2012, and I had submitted to speak, the first one I'd ever gone to, and it turns out that I didn't get accepted. Okay, whatever. And then the next morning, that was end of Saturday, they found out that the first person on the next day wasn't going to sign the release.
Okay.
So they said, well, we can't record you then. So there's no point in actually letting you go on, right? So then I said, well, I can do it. So at the end of the day, I was running around telling everybody, so come to my talk tomorrow morning, come to my talk tomorrow. So my first speaking experience was filling in for somebody else who chose to sign the speaker release. And that was on a case study that I did, a case study on a website that I was building for a nonprofit. And then the next one I went to was Buffalo in 2013. So that may very well be the same one we're talking about. 2014 just went like a blur. And I ended up doing 7 word camps that year. I did what I call my first word camp tour. And I did, to name a few, I did Chicago, New York, Los Angeles, I did. And I was one of 2 Canadians there. And I was the only one speaking. And then the following year, I stayed a little bit more local. And so that was 2015, which is when I was on the organizing team for Toronto. Yeah, and then it just, you know, took off from there. So I think 2015 was the year I was helping co-organize. It was just amazing. Yeah.
So the really funny part is I don't remember when we actually met as friends. Like, I honestly don't remember our first real conversation because that was so long ago now, and we've had so many conversations between then and now. And my first impression of you was sitting in your class, or your session, I should say, at WordCamp, that I honestly don't remember, like, hey, I'm Michelle. Hey, I'm Shanta. And, you know, it kind of, my guess is it just kind of happened.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we could probably talk like for hours because we have so many great shared experiences, but let's get back to WordPress coffee. I can't even say my own podcast right now. WP Coffee Talk. I do remember, you know, I was going to say
hashtag WordCamp addict.
I know, I did 9 last year. That was like the pinnacle of my WordCamps. I know, it's crazy.
I think I hit 8.
Tell us about yourself. Obviously, we've already known a little bit, but what do you do professionally and what do you do with WordPress? Let's talk about that a little bit and then we'll move into showing me your mug.
Oh, sounds like a plan. So my name is Shanta, of course. I work for a company here in Hamilton called Weaver App. We are a software company that deals with manufacturing, which has nothing to do with WordPress, oddly enough. I shouldn't say that. Weaver Apps actually did start out as a WordPress company way back when they started in 2011. And I've only been with the company myself for about 15 months. So way back when I first met the people from Weaver Apps, they were actually doing mobile apps built on WordPress. Now over time, they've moved away from that and started doing their own apps. Prior to that, I was actually teaching at Sheridan College and for about 6 years, and most of what I was teaching was WordPress. And of course, as you know, I've been doing WordCamp talks for years now, and I'm over 30. That's all I know. And I think the highest I hit was 8.
Yeah, I think I just went to my 31st or 32nd one. And that was WordCamp Kent just in June, and I was my big keynote actually at WordCamp Kent, so that was pretty exciting. So it's all these WordCamps that we get to spend time and see each other, which is awesome. And I think once in a while we've met up in like Niagara Falls or something and spent a day with a bunch of WordPressers just for fun. Yeah, that's been a lot of fun too.
Very cool. That is a lot of fun.
It is a ton of fun. And of course, we always end up talking WordPress, even though there's so many other things to talk about too, but we're kind of addicted. Speaking of addicted, I have coffee in my cup. Show me your mug. I know you've got a special mug here today.
I do.
Ooh, what's the, I can't do the theme song.
I can't do it either. So this is, it has a nice lovely lid to it. For those of you who don't know, I am a big Doctor Who fan, like you didn't know already. But I also like Wonder Woman as well. So Michelle and connect on the Wonder Woman stuff. So this was actually, bit of story behind this actually, is this is the biggest Doctor Who mug that I own. And this was actually given to me by one of my former students for my birthday. And it was given to me in a bag with, again, a TARDIS on the front that says it's bigger on the inside. And so I usually fold it and keep it in my purse so that if I go shopping or whatever, so it becomes bigger on the inside, see?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's one that was given to me by one of my former students who was a teaching assistant of mine. That's a whole other podcast worth. It was good times, great stories.
I think a TARDIS mug should say something like 20 ounces on the outside, but really hold a gallon. You know what I'm saying?
It should, it really should, yeah.
So what are you drinking today? Did you tell us what's in your mug?
I didn't. So today, I don't know if 94% humidity with a humidex of 37 degrees Celsius outside. It's really bad. So coffee would probably not be the best thing. So instead, today I am drinking a mixture of juices. I promise you there's no alcohol in it because my brother made it. So my brother is absolutely well known for just literally going to the fridge, seeing there's like a little bit of this left, there's a little bit, and just putting them together. So it's some kind of pinkish color. You might look at it and say, oh, it looks like pink lemonade, but it's, I'm not quite sure what it is. It's almost like it's water with maybe one of those flavors in it, but either way, it's really good and refreshing. So anyway, thanks, Robbie.
So I am in the same temperate zone that you are, and I am drinking coffee, but I really needed the caffeine today. So, and I'm sitting in air conditioning. So I'm okay. But this is a mug I haven't shown on the show before because I forgot I had it. Mm. This is from my college.
Yes.
This is where I did my undergrad at Robert Wilson College here in Rochester, New York. Technically in North Chi-Lai, New York, a very small town. And I don't think very many people know that I did my undergrad in religion and philosophy. So
I think I remember you and I had this conversation, yes.
I mean, I know that you know that my minor was in vocal performance and English because I do love to sing. But yeah, my undergrad's in religion and philosophy, and then I did an MBA and some other stuff. But yeah, so the original intent was to be a minister. And although I do, I am ordained and I do marry people, I do not run a church. We could start the Church of WordPress, but I'm not sure that that's really sanctioned.
Probably not.
Probably not. Mm-mm. So here's something interesting. I know so much about you, but I do not know your WordPress origin story. So tell me about how you got started with WordPress.
So you know about at least the first camp I went to. So how I got started in WordPress. I almost first thing out of graduating from Ryerson University in Toronto. I worked as a TA there for about a year, and I'd already done network administration, webmastering, way back, even before I did my degree. And I worked at the university for about another year. And then odd jobs. I actually worked on the mayoral campaign in 2010 in Toronto, where that mayor got elected. But I wasn't working on his team. So now I've come off of that campaign. I went to go and work for another company for about a month. And I don't know if Kira told you that story, but that's how we met. And then I'm now, wondering what the heck do I do with my life? The job prospects weren't doing very well, and I just don't know what to do. So I meet up with a very good friend of mine that I'd met at sort of all these meetups. After university, I became a meetup junkie. And one of the people that I'd met is a woman by the name of Carolyn Van, and she is still on my books as being the woman who got me started in WordPress, even though she doesn't do it at all. And she was an amazing advisor to me and still is. She helps out and does a lot of work with Canada Learning Code. So she's one of their main advisors there. Anyway, so she told me, well, you know what? The guys who host our office do all this stuff in this thing called WordPress. Well, you already have some experience in like HTML, CSS, websites, but it had been so long since I built one. She says, well, why don't you just go pick up a book and see what you can learn about this? So this is about 2011 or so, 2010. So that's what I did. And actually, I think this is before I did the campaign. So I literally left her at, if you know Toronto at all, Yonge and Bloor. It was a lovely day. And I remember walking right over to Bay and Bloor, about 10 minutes maybe, walked into Indigo and literally went and bought the 8-in-1 WordPress book. Do you remember this one? WordPress for Dummies, 8-in-1. And oddly enough, a few years later, I don't still have it on my bookshelf even. I think I gave it to somebody who wanted to learn about it. I said, here, read this. Written by Lisa Sabin Wilson. And then a couple of years later, I actually had the chance to meet Lisa in Milwaukee. And so I thanked her for it because that's how I got my start.
That is so cool. I love it. And one of the really cool things about, or maybe not cool things about the For Dummies series on anything technology is they become obsolete so quickly. it should be a web series so that you can go back through and edit it, because you know, the WordPress for Dummies last year is already outdated, I'm sure, if there is one even from last year. But that's great, though. That's right. A great way to get started. Is and I hear a lot of people now, when they are self-teaching, they're using YouTube and Udemy and lynda.com and things like that for the same ideas. But that's great. I love that story. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And it's great that you can point yourself right back to one person and say, that's the person who helped me get started in all of it. That's awesome. Fantastic.
And the fact that they're all women, too.
Yeah.
Which is also really cool, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Typically when people tell their stories, it's you know, guys in the story, or what, which is great also. But mm-hmm. it's even better that, you know, we as women can tell that kind of story and say, hey, it's actually a bunch of women that helped me get here. Especially in the technology.
I love that. I love women empowering women, especially in STEM. Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And encouraging one another as often as possible. That's great. Yeah, for sure. Let's talk about WordPress websites in general, though. So you have taught people, I've taught people, we've seen a plethora of WordPress websites. I love that word, by the way, plethora. A plethora of WordPress websites over our years. What do you think is something that people don't focus enough energy on and skip over when they're developing their WordPress websites?
Their navigation and wayfinding.
How did I know that was going to be your answer, since you've given so many talks on that, post-it notes included? Tell me more about it.
So that was actually the second WordCamp talk I ever gave, and that was when I was at Buffalo, and it was something that I read when I first started teaching at Sheridan College. So I started teaching at Sheridan in fall of 2012, and like I said, I went and I did my talk in Buffalo in 2013, and it was something that I remember reading in an information architecture book, and they called it like a card sort thing. Basically, the idea is this: if I get to your website, however I get there, and that's SEO, by the way, SEO is getting to your website. Well, what do I do once I've gotten there? I've read the article that we're talking about. Well, what if I want to know more about you? What if I just land on your website by chance, or I tell you to go to my website? What am I going to find? How am I going to find it? How am I going to find what I'm looking for? And so on. So that, to me, has been the biggest piece. And so I came up with this talk, and it's gone through, I don't know how many different names by now, but I remember giving this talk as far back as 2013, Buffalo, was the first time I gave it. And I don't even know how many times I've given it now, but I can tell you right now, I'm giving a workshop on it next week at WordCamp Ottawa, and then I'm giving it again, in Rochester in a few months. Mm-hmm. So the value of it is still existing, but I am absolutely shocked at how many people don't, I don't expect them to, quote, drink the Kool-Aid, but the idea that, you know, just a basic idea, even if they don't follow the whole guideline thing, just can't you just see something in that? Like, yeah. But that's SEO. No, it's not the same thing.
Right.
That's key to this. It's not the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. And not only is it about the navigation and wayfinding, it all reaches back into the purpose of your site. What's the call to action? How can I direct people into where I really want them to make a purchase, hire me, learn more, whatever the call to action, whatever the purpose of your website is, all of that plays directly into not only mm-hmm. how you organize your navigation, but what you name those tabs or those navigation fields.
And it's not even just what you name them. It's, you know, somebody would say to me, for example, and all these times I've done this, and I think I've done this workshop now twice, at Ottawa, this is like my third time doing this workshop, and I fill the room. People are astounded when they come out of this, like it's magic. But the thing that that I think is really the light bulb moment is, well, I have this thing over here, but it doesn't seem to fit into every. Where do I put it? Don't
right.
Like just like you said, if this one little thing doesn't fit into the overall scope of where you're going with this, mm-hmm. does it really belong there in the first place?
Exactly.
That's the key. That's
the key. Remember, because we don't build websites for us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We build websites for people who don't know about us. right. what we do. Exactly. One thing I learned. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say the first time I did it at WordCamp Ottawa, I wasn't quite sure how we were going to proceed. And so I ended up calling up somebody from the audience, and we built his website right then and there with the input from the audience. And he's like, well, after we went through it all, he's like, well, I'm not really sure if this is going to work. I go, your potential customers have just told you what they expect to see. And he's like, oh my God, you're right.
I came on.
And I'm happy to say that the last time that we did this in Ottawa, again, pick somebody from the crowd. And I'm happy to say that we were, and I'm going to have to double check the name for you. The case study that we chose for that was actually for the Canadian AIDS Society. And she wrote to me afterwards and she said, wow, like, this is amazing. So I'm happy to say that through the camp at Ottawa, we were actually able to help a nonprofit make their site even better for a very important cause too.
That's wonderful. Now, mm-hmm. one trick I learned, this doesn't have to do so much with the wayfinding as just kind of a fun little tidbit. First of all, I learned about mega menus, which is so super cool. And mm-hmm. then the second thing I learned is that without any CSS or any divs or anything at all, you can actually put icons or images in your navigation bar. So you could have a little heart next to and all you have to do is put the HTML referencing back to the media file. Of course, you have to make it small, otherwise it's going to be big, right? So you have to make it basically the size of a favicon, so a 16 by 16 pixel, put it in your media menu, and then you can actually have that next to every one of those. So I'll have to do a little write-up on that sometime, because that's really kind of a super cool little fun thing I learned. Yeah. Okay.
I'd love to do that.
I will share that with you for sure. Maybe I'll send it to you before next week. So if you want to include it in your talk, you can. And the other thing I wanted to mention is when you do this talk, please, 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 for me, if for nobody else, put in a slide on 404 pages, because wayfinding is important when you come upon that 404 page. Yes. When you do come upon a 404 page, if it's boring, you've lost me. If it's ingenious and fun, especially for a site that has some kind of humor or lightness about it. I mean, I don't think I'd put a humorous thing on a funeral home website, for example. Make it appropriate. But having an appropriate 404 page can be a lot of fun and really engage your site visitors even more. I love to hack 404s just to see what they look like all the time. I do that.
So I've seen you do it. And I have to admit, I have not done it yet for my own. But now that I'm, you know, doing what I'm doing, I have to make sure I focus on that. But that's definitely something I need to add. So consider that.
Yeah, I really want to do a talk just on 404s. I think that'd be kind of fun, actually.
Didn't you do one? I thought you did.
No, I included it in the little things that make a difference.
That's what I'm remembering.
Yeah, I'd really like to take it and expand on it and talk about why it's really important from a marketing perspective. But anyway, moving on. More about you than me. What's my next question? See, I'm already forgetting. Oh, what's something that you wish you had known when you started in WordPress that you've learned since that might, you know, make your life a little bit easier at this point?
See, that is the toughest question I saw on this list. And I don't know. I really don't. I got it.
Okay.
So, how addictive WordCamps are.
Oh, yes. I don't know that everybody doesn't realize it's when you attend a WordCamp, you pay $20 a day, $25 a day, whatever it is in American or Canadian or whatever. And you pay your own way. You know, if I went to attend Lancaster a couple years ago, and I paid for my own hotel, I paid for my own food, paid for my ticket, etc. When you speak at a WordCamp, whether you are the keynote speaker or not, whether you're a volunteer or not, you don't pay the ticket price, but you still pay your own accommodations, your own travel. We don't get stipends. We don't get any of that. So I think what you're talking about, not necessarily is it addicting because you lose weekends because you're having so much fun. It's an expensive hobby.
Well, I think not only that, but I mean, even if you are just attending, right? I think, I'm going to go a little deeper on this, is that it's not just the $20 and the knowledge that you gain that day, right? You and I both know this has been an amazing journey for a bunch of us, mm-hmm. right? I used to call it the circuit, right? Did Kira talk to you about the bus?
Yes. I'm going to have to put your episode on right after hers so that it makes sense
You're
to
gonna
people.
You're going to have to. Okay, so I'm calling her out. She's got to build the bus.
Except we talked about having a plane instead where she could just trap people on the way to their own camps. Just push them out. Yep. Parachute,
yep. With a big wapu on it, yeah. but I think the value of word camps is more than just the knowledge you gain in that day. It is literally the connections that you make, right? I know you have, but whether your viewers have ever heard of the hallway track and how valuable that is. And you know, staying in your own town isn't enough, right? Like, I've been to so many now in so many different places, and just like I don't consider the people in the WordPress community my colleagues. I consider them my friends, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, bit of a segue, if you recall last year, I won't tell the whole story because it'll take too long, but if you recall last year at WordCamp Hamilton, right, what I was going through that time, like, but I wouldn't have told that to my average colleagues, right? I told that to my friends. And so if anything that I wish I had known is how addictive they are, but also how valuable they are, and how much they can really build a community, and how much they can really build your networking capability.
I agree 100%, which actually leads into the next question, because the next question is, what are some of your favorite WordCamp meetups or talks and experiences, specifically something that might have been a pivotal or inspirational moment for you?
So I've got two-ish.
That's
fine. Funny enough, I actually tweeted about it, I think in response to one of your tweets when you came up to WordCamp Hamilton. I think you asked this very question. So I'm going to repeat that. So a few years ago, it might have been 2015, 2014-ish, I remember when WordCamp Toronto was still being held at Humber College. And my room monitor, I don't know if I've ever told you this story. Do you know who my room monitor was? None other than Matt Graham.
Ah, okay. He's been on the show.
He was so excited to be my room monitor. And he was so, you know, just really helpful and just, you know, everything else. Well, now Matt's doing his own talks, and we've actually done talks together at like places like Rochester and so on, with doing like scavenger hunts and things like that. Now we go to word camps together, and jokingly, I call myself his word camp wife.
What does Heather think about that?
So the hotel been booked? Have we got everybody together? Have we got the road trip snacks? You know. So I call myself his word camp wife now. And now, of course, he's giving his own talks. Similar to that, actually, is at WordCamp Hamilton, where I was one of the organizers, which, by the way, is, you know, our awesome WAPU, like, best. One of the things that I always try and help with is obviously encouraging more women to speak, more first-time speakers and fun. Been helping at our local meetup, which I've been helping run with Adam Wills, who's been our lead organizer for the last 2 years. And there was one time when he wasn't there, and I was helping someone with her website. God love Ashley, and she made it so easy, okay? And I remember helping her out one time. I turned around to help something else. I turned back to my bag, and I found a bottle of wine and a thank you card. Who does that? And I'm like, what is this for? And she's like, you give of your time. Like, you're volunteering for this. I'm like, yeah, because I enjoy doing it. But she said, no, you're volunteering your time. And she did that twice, not once, twice. So I took it into work and even shared it with my colleagues. But luckily enough, a couple of months before WordCamp, we were working on something. And I said, look, we just learned how to do this thing in Gutenberg, something like that. And I go, you know, we just did all of this in about half an hour. And she's like, yeah, I know. That's really awesome. So that'd be a really good talk. She's like, oh no, what are you suggesting? she promised on that part.
You just pulled her right in.
She says she committed to it. And I said, I've got witnesses, right? And she committed to it. And she submitted it. And she gave her very first WordCamp talk. She's a physiotherapist.
Right.
She's not. She doesn't even do this for a living. So good on her. She actually went and did her very first WordCamp talk at WordCamp Hamilton. So
yeah, I met her
can
there.
Honestly say I had at least influence on two people that were both.
Well, other
She's
people
a
have.
Lovely girl. And
other people have mentioned you on the podcast too. So you're influencing more than two.
So, and the beauty about that is that, you know, there were two people that were both speaking at the same one that I was helping organize, and I was able to actually get them into that space. So either in part or not, or, but it was kind of cool.
I also need to mention at this point in time that you are also one of my main connections for Canadian chocolate, specifically, Coffee Crunch. Is that what it's called? I forgot what it's called
though. Coffee Crisp.
Coffee Crisp, thank you. Like my brain is going. And then the Kinder Eggs, because we can't get them in the U.S. Not the same kind that you all have with the fun toys. We have the stupid little things you can scoop out with a plastic whatcha-who's-it, and those are not as good as the Kinder Eggs. So you are my chocolate.
There are some things you can get in Canada that you just can't get there.
And this last, and in Hamilton, you hooked me up with my very first butter tart. And now I must come back to Canada frequently to get this. So, and I will be seeing you in less than a week in Ottawa. And you and I and Matt are all on the same panel. I think we're all on the ethics panel for that too. So we'll be up there sitting together. We'll have a lot of fun together.
Great.
So I know you said at Weaver Apps you're not doing a lot of WordPress work anymore with Weaver Apps, but if we can switch a little, I mean, feel free to talk about Weaver, but what are you doing with the WordPress community now? So what are some of the things you're involved in that you'd like to chat with me about?
So I'm still doing talks. Even though I've been with Weaver Apps for about a year now, I still try and say, hey, can I like, you know, take half a day and go to this WordCamp down here because I have so much fun with them. So I still do speak in the WordPress community. I can't remember how many I did last year, but it was probably still about three or four at least. I stay pretty local, but, you know, still have some fun with it. I've just completed 2 years in helping out with the local meetup, as I said, with Adam Wills. I have to focus on a bunch of other stuff. So I think we've left the WordPress community here in Hamilton in good hands. So I'd like to at least say that, you know, we didn't just abandon it. That's one thing I want to make sure of is, and I've talked to many of the groups that I've ever mentored for whatever purpose has always been, make sure that you do a good carryover, that you hand off whatever you have to the next group, whether you're leaving on good terms or not, just make sure that, and so that's what I'm hoping that'll leave. The only other thing I can think of is, I don't usually take on, you know, my own clients or consulting or things like that, but I am actually building my own WordPress course. So with any luck, I'm going to be coming up with my own course launching, if I get my goals straight, September 1st. First one I want to tackle is based on the talks that I gave on 3 pages in 30 minutes. And if that all goes well, then I may have to do my post-it note talk. I'm calling it the post-it note talk only because I haven't really found a good name for it yet, but everybody knows what I'm talking about.
So. The people who have heard you talk about it call it the post-it note talk too. And, you know, I also have to say, as far as your involvement in the WordPress community, you are always available to anybody when they need it, as long as, you know, it literally fits in within your schedule. I had somebody that was unable to make the show today. And I was all set up, headphones and everything. And I saw you on Slack, your light was green. And I just pinged you. I'm like, hey, have you got a little bit of time? And you're like, I was about to head out, but what do you need? I'm like, want to be on my show? I'm all set up to go. And I'm just sitting here alone. And you're like, okay. And not only that, but I think it was, gosh, it might have been 3 years ago or more now. I pinged you on a Monday morning, I think it was. And I said, the person who was supposed to talk to my meetup tonight can't make it. Can I use your slides for your post-it note talk, and can, are you okay with me giving that talk for you? You said, hey, I'll do you one better. If you can Skype me in, I'll do it for you. And I was like, done. And you did. You came on, and we put you on the big screen TV, and we had Skype going, and people were asking questions, and it went really, really well. So, you know, of all the people, I mean, everybody that I know that's involved with the WordPress community has a heart as big as gold. You know, I mean, that's just what we do, right? We help each other out. But not everybody has the drop it now and do what I can for you in this particular moment. And that's something that I really admire about what you do and how you help people. So thank you, for not just for me, for everybody else who you've helped over the years. And you are also somebody who gives me wine. So thank you for all of those things too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
And you can't see my bulletin board because it is behind my computer screen that I'm looking at. But I do have a card that you sent me. It's got Wonder Woman on it. She's on my bulletin board up there. And then at least one picture from WordCamps is on my bulletin board also, that's got you and me in it together too. So I just want you to know, I appreciate you. So that's pretty cool. So you're definitely talking in Ottawa, and you're talking in Rochester.
I'm doing three. I'm doing a panel, I'm doing a talk, and I'm doing the workshop.
In Ottawa.
In Ottawa.
It's not a competition. However, I'm on two panels and I'm doing two talks next weekend in Ottawa. And I'm repping a vendor too. So when I'm not in a talk, I'm going to be sharing Weglot with people. I've learned how to use Weglot, which is a multi-language way to transcribe your website into other languages. So that's kind of cool too. So I'm looking forward to sharing that. And I'll be in, will you be in Montreal this year for WordCamp Montreal in August?
No, it's not on my agenda. I've already committed to far too much. So it's funny that you say, you know, oh, you're always available. Unfortunately, that's probably one of my downfalls too. So I'm trying my best to focus, though I did promise a relative of mine that I would go out and visit. So maybe what I'll do is I'll just say, yeah, I'm going to go to WordCamp, but I'm not speaking. And I was going to say, I think I broke a WordCamp speaker rule. I finished my slides. We're a week away. Wait a second.
I didn't even started my. Well, one is
the
done.
The joke on
the
that is, of course, you don't finish your slides.
In Hamilton, I started them the morning of.
Well, there is one piece that I have to fill in. So here's the thing: is that for the workshop, I'm actually asking in advance for a case study. So thanks to WordCamp Ottawa for actually posting it. That I'm looking for those case studies ahead of time. That is the only slide that I haven't completed yet because we haven't found one yet.
Ah, okay.
But I think I broke a cardinal rule of WordCamps. I finished my slides a week before the event.
Well, let's be honest. First time speakers get nervous and they do theirs very, very early. It's the practiced people like you and me. And it literally in Hamilton, I didn't have a single slide done. I woke up in the morning. I was like, I should probably put this together. I was speaking at the end of the day, so I knew that I could work on them throughout the day, and it worked great, and I was inspired when I did it. So I don't suggest everybody work in the 11th hour like me, but I've got it perfected.
You and me both.
Right? I know. And then I will definitely see you in Rochester, so we'll hang out in Rochester. And then I don't know Niagara is so close by you, so hopefully you'll be at Niagara's October 19th, and their speaker selection is still open through the end of this month. So might be worth considering because you could just drive there and stay home even without spending a lot of money.
Yeah, like that's even close. That's even easier than Toronto for me.
Yeah. So maybe I'll see you there too.
All right.
We'll talk later.
We might. Yes.
Moving into the rapid fire questions. Take the time you need to answer them, but I am going to definitely ask them quickly. No, just kidding. What are two or three must-have plugins that you recommend to people building their own websites?
Regardless of what it is, you must have WordFence and you must have Updraft Plus, security and backup systems. Simple as that.
So if you don't want to use Updraft Plus, there's a million other different ones. But basically, you're saying you need to have security and you need to have a backup. And those are the two that you recommend for those. Absolutely. Fantastic.
Yes. And the reason I recommend those, I wouldn't necessarily go with like enterprise level. Don't get me wrong. These are for people that are literally starting out, don't know where to go first and so on. These are both free. And yes, you're quite right. It is security and it is backups. That way, if you make a mistake, you can always restore and so on. Mm-hmm. But the reason I recommend those ones is because even out of the box, they offer so much at a free level that it's well worth it. And they offer mm-hmm. so many amazing features.
Yeah, that's great. What do you use for SEO?
I don't. That's part of the problem. I've never been a very big master at SEO. Mm-hmm. I tried using Yoast on one of my sites once as a test, and I just found it very confusing. But I can't really say that I've ever really focused on it.
Do you have a go-to for forms? We have the battle of the forms here in Rochester. Everybody, like, you know how people fight over, not fight, but debate over who's the best host? Well, we have a battle of the forms here in Rochester every year where we try to argue why ours is best. Which one do you go with?
So I don't really have a particular favorite. I was using Jetpack for a long time. And at one point, it actually broke my site. Jetpack, in general, broke my site. Like, I went to it one day, and I'm like, what just happened? By the way, thanks to Kira. Love you dearly, because she saves my ass more times than I can count. So she went in, and she figured out it was Jetpack. Well, now I've got to find something else. When she and I were actually building a couple of sites, we actually tried Contact Form 7. Contact Form 7 actually was much harder to work with when it came to things like plugging in MailChimp and a whole bunch of other things. And it actually screwed with a bunch of stuff. And I know that that's a very highly recommended one. But after our experience with that, I've just never used it. And I think it was Matt Graham, actually, who suggested Gravity. So I will say that's the one I've been using lately, and I've been very happy with it. In getting prepped for all these courses and things like that, I've been looking at MailChimp integrations and things like that, and I found it really easy to use. So currently, I would say that my favorite is Gravity Forms, but you know, honorable mention has to go to Josh Pollock out at Caldera Forms because they have the best taco stickers and parties out there. So you know, props to Josh for all his work. I haven't had a chance to do it.
Josh and Christy are amazing with the Caldera Forms, and I use Caldera Forms now. I still have Gravity Forms on a ton of sites that I implemented, but my go-to now, and what I have on WP Coffee Talk, I remember the name of it this time, is Caldera Forms, so I agree. They do a good job. Did you have a mentor when you first started with WordPress, or at any point in your journey, is there somebody that you could point to and said, this person really helped me along the way? Who was it?
WordPress. Not so much, I think, in my learning. There's different people that have played different roles. So really quickly, the people that really gave me a shot so that I could continue to learn what I did learn already, Dr. Michael Jones was actually the one who gave me the job at Sheridan College in the first place. And he basically said to me, so you know WordPress, right? I went, yeah. He goes, great, you start Monday. Okay. Now I wasn't teaching with him, but I was teaching and I'd met him on actually a campaign trail. So, mm-hmm. So thanks to Mike for giving me the job at Sheridan in the first place. The other person, around that same time was David Hughes, and he was the teacher that I was paired with. So we were co-teaching this course, and that's where I actually got the book on information architecture that taught me about wayfinding in the first place. I kind of knew it in the back of my head, but did I actually formulate it and things like that? And he gave me the opportunity to teach, right? Like I was there as a co-instructor. We did have the same title, but he said, look, if you just want to mark, you can go ahead and mark, or you can, you know, go this other route and you can actually get up there. Well, but keep me quiet through a whole class? You're kidding, right? So I looked at this and I went, this is me. Right? Like he was the design guy. Like he does a wonderful, wonderful job. He's a wonderful musician as well. And he could just run CSS like it's going out of style. But there was something about this information architecture stuff that really resonated with me. And I said, I want to do that. So thanks to him for that. And the other person, like I said, that is saving my ass more times than I can count is Kira. The number of times that I've gone, well, how does this work? Well, here's how it works. Or here, let me fix that, or whatever. So she's definitely my current go-to. And I have to admit, I'm going to take some part, though, back and saying that, you know, it's my fault. She's a WordCamp addict now.
I told her in my interview with her that I was going to nickname her the Princess of Expediency, because she's figured out ways to completely speed up processes like, you know, the WordCamp videos and things like that. But I'm thinking about renaming. Instead of Expediency, I'm going to say Efficiency. She's the Princess of Efficiency. Because it's more than just being fast.
100%.
Efficient. So we'll have to let her,
A little known fact, she actually taught with me at Sheridan. And one of the things that she did when I first hired her on is she's like, I'm sorry, you're spending how much time marking these things?
Yeah.
Oh, no. No. Okay, here's how we're going to do this. So actually her Dragon Teach stuff was actually what we did at Sheridan College. And it was because of that, you know, so I'll say I played a small role in it, but she's the one who totally came up with the idea. But, you know, had I not hired her in the first place, she may not have that. So I'll take credit for that.
All right. I'm going to give you credit for it too.
Right on.
Who is somebody that you admire in the WordPress community and why? Other than people you've already named.
Okay. So... I had one on the tip of my tongue when I started.
You want to come back to it?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
We'll come back to that one.
I'll write it down, but yeah, there's bound to be somebody else, but I'm trying to think.
Okay.
Oh, I remember.
Yes. Good.
Morten Rand Hendrickson. Mm. Morten is an amazing human being, will always take a tweet, I don't want to say a call, but you get my meaning. Mm-hmm. Like me, as you've said about me, I will say about him. So a few years ago, I was teaching at Mohawk College, and I was developing their WordPress curriculum. So we're Mohawk College is here in Hamilton. And I was helping them develop their first WordPress curriculum in their Women in IT course paired with the YWCA. So their students were all women, mostly immigrants in some cases, that were trying to change jobs. So I had to really ramp up my stuff because unlike my other courses where we're just teaching them a little bit about web design, this is a course that was actually teaching them to be the web developers. So the first thing I did, I went to lynda.com, looked up Morten's courses. I can recommend his courses in a heartbeat. It is amazing that he has the ability to teach in such a way that is exciting. You can always hear his voice and hear the excitement in his voice when he teaches. He's always very thorough. And I know that when I had questions, I sort of threw them up on Twitter going, he'll get to them when he gets to them. Oh, no. He was on. And he responded to me. And then after I'd done the course, he actually came back to me saying, listen, I've got to redo that course. Do you have any feedback for me? Or do you have anything that you'd like to see that you didn't see? Further to that, his work with the accessibility and, or his, not just his work, but his voice as far as accessibility and governance goes in the WordPress community. And I have to admire him that he really does keep his politics, I guess you could say, in check, right? You can look to this and go, this is a man of reason. This is a person who has actually thought about this and actually, even though he probably makes most of his living through WordPress and could probably end up being, I don't want to say shunned by the community, but you see where I'm going. Like mm-hmm. that he could probably say, oh, no, like you're talking a load of crap. At the end of the day, he actually comes out sounding one of the most clear-cut people you would ever meet.
That's awesome.
Morten Rand Hendrickson, 100%.
That's awesome. Very good shout out. I have not personally taken his classes, but I know so many people that swear by them that I should take one, even if I know the answers, just so that I get his teaching style. So I'll have to do that. Mm-hmm. What's something that you want to learn in WordPress that you haven't tackled yet?
Well, I think SEO was probably one of the things that I wanted to learn. Especially over the last few months, I think Gutenberg is probably one of the ones that I've literally only touched the tip of the iceberg on. I think probably some of the other stuff would be things like membership sites.
That's actually a really good one.
Yeah, I think it's something that I talk with all the time. I know that Chris Lemma did series years ago, and I know he's reviving his stuff right now, but I will thank him as well, because he always did a really good job of analyzing all of the membership sites or education sites or those types of things. And he always said, like, there's no one right answer. So I think for me, it's a matter of going back through those and seeing, okay, which one is the right one? Especially now that I'm developing what I'm developing and figuring out all the pieces that are going to go in that. So yeah, I'd say membership sites and SEO would probably be a big one too.
Very good. What's one of the biggest WordPress mistakes you've ever made, and what did you learn from it?
One of the biggest mistakes. I would say, hard on my sleeve here, not finishing up or following through with the company that Kira and I wanted to start. So little known fact is that we did actually work on this for about a year when we were teaching. We would take Fridays and we'd both work together on a Friday after classes and so on. And I just think we weren't in the right, I certainly wasn't in the right headspace. I can't speak for her. She's obviously gone off and done that herself. But I think if I'd had more chances to work with her, I probably should have had the chance. I mean, now she's obviously found her stuff. I found something, whether it's the same stuff or not. I enjoy what I do. Don't get me wrong. I absolutely enjoy where I work, and they're amazing people. But I think my one regret or things that I didn't do was get that off the ground as much as we could have.
Mm-hmm.
Different timeline. But, you know, we'll talk about different timelines.
There you go. You can go back to it with the TARDIS. What is your proudest WordPress moment?
I would have to say giving my first WordPress talk was one of them. I've already sort of talked about, the other people that I've encouraged to go and give WordCamp talks as well. But I'd also have to say... Kira again, you know, like we've interwoven our lives so much. Her giving her first one is a big, big moment. And keep in mind, I have not watched her recording people at this point, so I have no idea what she said. I didn't even know she'd been on your show, so I'm going to see her in a little while, so I'm going to tell her. I'd have to say the other proudest moment is she's going to do her first WordCamp without me.
That's exciting. Which one is she going to?
So, she is.
WP Campus, right?
Yeah, she's going to WP Campus without me. So, I mean, I've done ones without her, obviously, but things like going to WordCamp Mumbai was one of them. Mm-hmm. I didn't know a single soul there. It was kind of interesting. Her going to do her first one, because her being the introvert that she is. So I'm very happy. She's going to go and do her own. Also that sort of, I guess, maybe the hand that I will claim that I played a part in is actually, she did some television interviews recently
on
a topic that's very close to her heart. I don't know if she's gone through it, but anyway, she's been on TV recently. So her being the introvert, I'm like, oh my God, this is so exciting. So I don't know whether the talks helped her or play a part, but I'll go with that.
Very awesome. Proud. I love it. That's fantastic. If you weren't working in web technologies and with WordPress and Weaver apps and those kinds of things, so take, digital anything out of it, what's another career that you might like to pursue?
photography. Oddly enough, I have a poster on my wall here. I'll take a photo and I'll send it to you. And it says, "Live your dream, not the American dream." It was based on a movie. And actually, I think it was Carolyn Dan that invited me to this. And it says, you know, you take the poster and you take a sticker and you write, "My dream is," and then there's a sticker there. And it says, "To travel the world and photograph it all to teach others."
Oh, that's very cool. I like that a lot.
I'll take a photo and I'll send it to you.
You and me and Kira have photography in common, so we all really enjoy that.
Yeah, but you guys have far better photography skills than I do. I will say that.
I would argue that I've seen some of your stuff and it's pretty darn good. So
anyway. I get lucky. I get lucky occasionally.
That's how I feel about it. Show us or tell us about one of your hidden talents, something the people in WordPress might not know about you.
So one thing that they may or may not know about me is that I have a love of origami. Mm-hmm. And so this is one of the things I think I probably got one of my earlier starts in. Let's pick that color because, you know, it's kind of WordPress color. Mm-hmm. So I keep this like close to my desk, and while I really hopefully quickly, and maybe I'll finish it through the rest of the talk. I can actually do most of this without actually looking at it. So I can actually build. Yeah, the paper crane. I know you know this. So one of the
you
things
made these I, ones. You gave these
I did,
to me several years ago.
I think I have this similar paper here somewhere. But I can mostly do this without actually looking at it.
Wow.
So if I actually can, you know, I'll try and do as much as this. I know that it's on video, but you see where I'm going is that I'm sort of, you know, feeling for the edges while I'm looking at your face. And I can more or less do it without looking at it. So one of the things I did when I was in high school, little story is a lot of these papers have really interesting patterns on them. Mm-hmm. For those of you who don't know, my brother is actually autistic and loves patterns and loves, you know, organization and things like that. So he always, I don't know if you can hear him a little bit in the background, he also has Tourette syndrome. So that ticks, the ticks you probably hear him, but no big deal. You get used to it after a while. Anyway, so he has been one of the biggest pieces of my life and probably is exactly the way I am because, you know, taking the time and the patience to describe things to him. So when he was little, we used to go to these art stores and we used to pick up papers, patterns on them. And when they had these patterns on them, I would find you would find like these inserts that would tell you how to fold stuff. And so I picked them up and I'm like, wow, that's really kind of cool. How does that work? So I started learning origami. And then by the time I was 16, I was legal to work for the City of Toronto where I lived. And by the time I was 17, I made an application to the council, the advisory committee, to say, I want to start teaching origami classes. So that was actually one of my first teaching jobs. First one I got paid for anyways. First teaching gig I really had was teaching about India in grade 6 when I was about 12 years old. And my mom knew I was a teacher then. So when I found my calling years later, I'm like, hey, mom, I'm going to go and be a teacher. She's like, duh. So little known fact is that I actually, one of my first paid teaching gigs was actually to teach origami at the local rec center. And I taught it for 2 years and then they were going to axe the program. So we actually had a fundraiser, an auction to auction off the pieces. And I was so proud of my students. They came up with stuff that I didn't even know about. And an origami-a-thon where we actually built as many cranes as we could in a class, like an hour, and people got pledges for it. So
that's really
cool. Yeah, so that is one of my little known facts. So
that's awesome.
And I'm almost done, but I've had to look at it a few times. I'm out of practice.
I understand. I look at things all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting to see the end result here. I think that's great. I actually gave a graduation speech.
It's
going to
take me another minute or two. So.
That's okay. I used to work at a massage school. I actually ran a massage school for 5 years, and I would give the graduation speeches. And after I learned how to fold cranes, which I still have to pull up a video to remind myself because I can't do it from memory. Once I learned how to do that, I gave a graduation speech about the thousand cranes story, about how throughout your life, that once you've, you know, that you would build a thousand or fold a thousand cranes for luck throughout your life. And so I made a crane for every student out of origami paper. And as they got their graduation, I gave them their first crane on the journey to 1,000 cranes. So that was a pretty cool. I don't remember the exact history of that. But there is a place in Japan, the little girl who wanted 1,000 cranes before she passed, she had cancer, I believe it was, actually died before she got the 1,000 cranes. But there's a statue of her in the middle of a square. And there are covered areas where people make 1,000 cranes. They come and they hang them underneath the covering so that they're not quite as exposed to the elements. And there's thousands of cranes hanging there all the time.
Yeah, no, I remember that story. And that's actually where we came up with the idea of doing the origami-a-thon. Mm-hmm. Is sort of, you know, how many cranes can you make? And I would always start the class every time I taught a session, that would be the first class that I taught, is how to you know, do one of these cranes. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that was so many years ago. I mean, I think I finished teaching it when I was like 19. Wow. So that's, and I used to, you know, a bunch of the guys would always call me, oh, it's the origami master. So, but there we go.
Let's see. Ta-da. Yay.
Not one of my better ones, but, you know, certainly not bad. But I still had to look. Still had to look. Yeah.
And because it's blue, I'm going to say it's the great blue heron here that we have all over Rochester. So to the crane family, I think.
Could really.
So wrapping up today,
sure.
I don't know. I'm going to pretend it is, and people can write in and tell me if I'm wrong, which is fine. I'm okay with being wrong sometimes. Hello. Mm-hmm. So tell us how people can find you, website, social media, etc.
So the easiest way to find me is shanta.ca. That is my website and my Twitter handle and Instagram. I don't have a Facebook page set up, but I don't usually use a lot of Facebook for my stuff anyways. So usually when I give my talks, I usually give the Twitter handle and the website, because those are the two best places. And if you want to, I have a contact page on there. If people want to get a hold of me, that's the easiest way. And let me know if you actually want to be if you're interested in signing up for those courses. And always, if you're at a WordCamp, just come and find me.
You promise you won't just say hi and walk away?
Promise not to walk away that easily. Promise. Yeah.
I'm just teasing you.
I know.
It's all good. Well, you know I love you, Shanta. Thank you so much for being here today.
And my pleasure.
Any last words you'd like to share before we sign off?
No, just go to a WordCamp, get involved in your local meetup group, because you never know who you're going to meet.
That's right. That's right. Very good. Well, I'm very grateful to have met you, and thank you so much for being here with us today. And I will see you in a week in Ottawa.
Looking forward to it. See you there.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.